All right, so we're recording the first Mondo Coolcast from the Cuck Shed. That's what I've jokingly been calling this place. Don't really have a good name, and then Cuck Shed just kind of stuck between me and the woman. But let's not actually call it that in perpetuity, because that's a little sad. That kind of is what the man cave is, isn't it? Just down here wasting time with your toys and video games when you could be doing important things. I've been, if you watch the videos, you've noticed that I've dropped a significant amount of weight. I haven't uploaded a lot of videos. Like, a lot of the pre-work I've done on Mondo Cool TV, I am fat as fuck. Like, 400 pounds fat. And I'm about 120 pounds, give or take less than that now. So I'm about halfway to where I want to be. So I've been spending a lot of time swimming and riding my bike. That's what I've been doing. Those are more important things. And reading books. I got some real big brain books upstairs. The kind of shit that if you saw me reading, you'd want to throw some rocks at me. Some big brain shit. So that's what I've mostly been spending my time with. And, you know, trying to get the office, the as of yet still unnamed location. The mysterious place. Here's a fun story. Me and the woman today went to a UFO conference in Fairborn, which is the city, one of the cities that Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is in. It sort of like sits in the middle of a few cities. Like on the other side, it's Riverside, Ohio. So we were at the senior citizens home with a bunch of old people that I guess had nothing better to do than listen to this guy talk about Roswell and Hangar 18, which is the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base location where they kept the alien corpses. You okay up there, babe? I'm leaving it in my recording. So we went out and we saw these space... This guy talk about space aliens. And nothing revelatory. You know, if you're interested in the subject, you know, the Rendlesham Forest case, which is out of the United Kingdom. There's one, a UFO sighting in Exeter that I've never heard of. But other than that, I've heard of everything. You know, someone brought up Aaron Von Doniket and Chariots of the Gods and, you know, the ancient astronaut theory. But it was fun. It was something free to do. And some people that look like they might have a little bit of the schizophrenia, but and some true believers. But at the end of this dude's talk, and I caught, like, most of it on video, and I'm too lazy and stupid to get it off my phone and upload it. But he puts on his suit jacket and a pair of sunglasses and pulls out a toy neuralizer from Men in Black and does the whole, you know, you weren't here today, you don't remember this, you were doing whatever. And you know, it got a good laugh. And, like, I'm just sitting here like, oh my God. Like, I'm embarrassed to believe in aliens now. I've mentioned it a couple times on the podcast, I'm sure. Ask Balzac for which episode and the timestamp. But I've seen a couple of UFOs. I've told that story, those stories a couple times. But that was pretty interesting. And then, you know, later on in the evening, we came down here and I recorded something, so I'm going to make another Just the Tip video. I moved over recently my Nintendo Power magazines. And within the same box, there's like a strategy book. It's like passwords for level selects and stuff like that. And they had a tip for Fortified Zone, which is a series I'm going to make a Mondo Cool TV episode about. It was one that I got really excited about and is planned to be in Season 3. But I think just the way life's going now with me having a child on the way, which is coming very soon, I'm just going to have to make episodes as I'm interested in them, work on them real hard, and just release them, the whole build up a season and release it at once. That shit did not pan out. It's been like 3 fucking years. Most of the footage, and I'm going to use the old footage. I'm like 400 fucking pounds. By the time I get the next episode of Mondo Cool TV out, I'll be down to like, you know, $190. Like lifting weights and running half marathon or half Ironmans and shit. So it'll be a little jarring seeing that old footage, but fuck it, man. It is what it is. Well, these show notes are old. So today we played some Fortified Zone. I did bring over my 3-ring binder that I used to take to work and write Mondo Cool TV notes for. So I do basically have a fully fleshed out strategy guide for Fortified Zone 2. So it wasn't any help for the first Fortified Zone, so I got to go home to my mom's house or whatever and get all the old notebooks from work and flip through them and find the Fortified Zone 1 notes. I do have my opinion pieces written down, so I'm going to be able to work on the script, but there's a couple of things that I found on the two-player gameplay tonight that goes in with the Just the Tip video I was going to make. So I'm going to try to get that done tomorrow, maybe even tonight. I was actually sitting down to record this, and it's like, fuck it, I feel like doing the podcast right now. So here we are. We're recording some Mondo Coolcast, the first one from the new location. I officially have all the games over here. I got all the PS1 games over. I just need to build the shelf. If you've watched a few of the newer YouTube videos where I'm in the new location, that ugly beige wall behind me is going to be a huge game shelf full of CD jewel case size stuff. It's going to be the shelf for that. It's going to go there. So I'll look like a real YouTubist at that point when I have a wall of games behind me and I'm talking. Someone, Pedro, he left a comment saying like he likes the office setup and it'll be good for like the news style videos, which is something I'd like to do. In my binder of ideas for Mondo Cool TV, I wanted to do the main show where I just have like the big segment that focuses on a series and just like everything about it, the history, developer information, just everything as much as I can get, as comprehensive as a research as I can get on a series. I thought, you know, since I'm paying for this DATV bullshit, that, hold on, that I may as well also make an easier show where I just sit behind a desk and do like news and just short things and maybe talk about other people's stuff and just make kind of like a news program and then also throw that up on the YouTube and the DATV. How do we do this? I forget. That reminded me that I need to renew my DATV membership because I renewed it last year and, you know, haven't done anything with it. So I want to get some. I'm starting to get the zone put together. What's holding me back for the Bomberman thing is, and it's like, it's bizarre how autistic I am. So I've got these two TV stands. One has a Trinitron on it, and then the other one is the exact same stand, perfect for a Trinitron, but that Trinitron's still at the mom's house, and that is huge. So I need to recruit Matt. I need to talk to Matt and say, hey, Matt, can you borrow your dad's truck? And then get that son of a bitch loaded up on, and then over here and down to the basement on a fucking dolly, and it's like going to be a goddamn nightmare. So, but I need to get the HDTV that's sitting on this stand that's destined for the Trinitron. So I need to get this wheeled cart that I want for the HDTV, which I want it specifically on a wheeled cart so that I can also put that behind me in those videos and have, like, images and background shit behind me. I have a vision, right? So I'd like to be able to wheel the TV cart with the HDTV over here so it can sit behind me and have a screen right there. And, you know, have, like, slides and stills and shit, or video even. So I'm waiting for that. You know, so I need to, like, find $60 for this cart to get the TV off the thing so I can get the other Trinitron over here, but I gotta get a guy with the truck to help do the thing. and then we'll be in business. And I want to, like, pretty it up. I also, like, this cheap walling material that separates this half of the basement. I want to cut some holes in it, and there's these, like, plastic wire management things that I want to embed in the wall so I can run all the video cables and power cables from each row. I want to have two of these on each row of the shelves that you may have seen on Instagram, and then have it come out at the bottom and have all my cable management behind the white bins. And I think it'll look slick as fuck, so we don't have all the wires hanging down. But, you know, that's going to be like a $40 project and a whole afternoon of cursing and swearing and probably, like, put the fucking cordless drill through my hand 100 times and just not the handiest son of a bitch out there. So this is Mondo Coolcast 122. Let's look at the notes that I have. Captain Toad, Treasure Tracker. Me and the woman cracked that open, and we played a bunch of levels, and that's a good game. That is a solid puzzle game. You, like, rotate the screen. It's kind of like, at first glance, it's like an isometric view, but you can control the camera. Toad doesn't jump, and they give you a plot reason. There's, like, Mario has the deepest lore. Captain Toad, the Treasure Tracker, can't jump because his backpack is too heavy. So he doesn't platform. So he's got to manipulate the world and rotate and solve puzzles. Tremendous video game. If you have a Wii U, buy it. It's a little on the short side. Me and the woman haven't played all the way through it. We just passed the controller off back and forth. Really cute, you know, beautiful game. If you own a Wii U and you don't have Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, what the fuck are you doing with yourself, buddy? River City Ransom. Not too long ago, probably, I guess, the last podcast appearance I made anywhere, I was talking to Critical Failure, and he mentioned River City Ransom. Like, yeah, I know it's a popular game. It's been on my shelf, like, with the other, you know, 1,200 games that have been sitting on my shelf waiting to get thrown into a system when I got the time or just the, like, you know, when I get the bug up my ass to do it. So me and the girlfriend fired up. We start falling fucking love with it. And I started saving the passwords and grinding and leveling my guy up. And I just fell in love with it. This is like the greatest game I've ever played. Not the greatest game I've ever played, but I would put it in my top 10. For sure. Top 5 Nintendo games, for sure. But just tremendous, and it's not that long, and we sat down, we played through, and we beat it, and then I recorded it, and I put up, on Instagram, I put up a 15-second review. I think those are cool. I wish they'd catch on a little more. I thought, like, people would really like that with the short attention spans. It's just, like, 15 seconds of, here's a video game review. Everything you need to know and a few screenshots or, like, you know, some video footage playing. If you're not following my Instagram, at JerryTerrifying, follow it. I'm knocking on 100 followers. The thing about Instagram is, like, you get 3, you lose 1. You get 5, you lose 2. So I keep just, like, getting closer and closer to 100 and then going back down to, like, 95. So if you're not following my Instagram, go ahead and follow that. Check out some of the 15-second reviews. I've started doing that. Whenever I put up a review on YouTube, there's also a 15-second review on Instagram. And I think they're pretty slick. I also put the Just the Tip on Instagram. And tonight after I record this, I'm probably going to make another Just the Tip. But yeah, River City Ransom was a lot of fun. So we both saved our characters, took pictures with our smartphones, and put the passwords back in the next time. And like, I was just having fun grinding for money to buy books and boots and CDs and just, like, seeing what affects which stat. Like, we kept fighting this one mini boss for a million hours, so we had enough money to each get a pair of the super boots that, like, maximize your kick attack and running speed. How did this game not catch on? Like, there's so much. It's the best Nintendo side-scrolling beat-em-up. There's so much polish to it, and, like, you learn new moves, you can use weapons. It's just tremendously fun. Can't believe I slept on it so much. So thank you, Alex. for being the final little nudge I needed to throw that in my Nintendo and play it. Now, back when I was starting to make notes and I was going to make a a podcast, you know, I was making notes, right? I was going to do a podcast, and I just happened to go on V, and this is when Cuphead was making its rounds through the journalists, and Dean Takahashi, a so-called professional video games journalist, couldn't beat the tutorial, and for like 15 minutes... this guy's trying to jump, like, he doesn't know how to double jump, or, like, to do a jump and then dash to get over this. This is, like, basic bitch platforming that, you know, as a child in the 80s, you just picked up the controller and you hit buttons and saw what did what, and you figured it out. You hit both buttons at the same time. You hit B and then A, and then you hit A and then B, and you try up and both buttons at the same time. You just tried all the fucking combinations to see what happened. You just experimented. You thought. You didn't have to have a literal carrot on a stick or an on-screen tutorial and video for 45 minutes to tell you how to jump over the fucking box. So it was pretty funny. And then all these people start, you know, giving him some shit because this is a so-called professional video game enthusiast. You know, this is someone who has a lifetime of enjoying video games and he can't pass the fucking tutorial of a basic bitch platformer. And there's, like, a DMCA takedown of, like, any videos criticizing him. Like, it's just the whole ethics and gaming journalism thing all fucking over again. They're all, like, all these sob pieces, like, Gamergate won't go away. They're making fun of him because he's bad at games. Well, why am I going to buy a fucking game if this dipshit reviewing it can't fucking play video games? Your opinion's garbage, dude. Like, why is he being paid money to tell me what games to buy if he can't fucking play games? Like, this is what's gone wrong with YouTube and the internet. Like, I know you guys are sick of hearing it, cause, like, one of the last comments I got from the last Mondo Coolcast. Let's see, I need to bring that up, because I need to read comments off of it. I'm sorry, Balzac, I forget if you sent me a fucking... what's it called? An audio comment. On the Coolcast archive. Live for the 2021. Ooh, we got 5 comments on this. But anyway, recently Death Adder is like, man, I need to check out Dragon Quest because you talk about it all the time. I don't know if he'll like it, but he did also comment somewhere else, and I forget where, that he really liked Pokemon Yellow. So if you like Pokemon Yellow, the combat's very similar. Lots of status effects, and the turn-based nature, it's quick. There's no, like, meter where you watch it. But anyway, hell, I forget what I was even talking about. I'm halfway tempted to... I'm sorry, guys. I'm very tired. And I'm just sort of ranting from topic to topic. But yeah, the whole... wow, I'm lost. I am going to stop this and listen and see what my point is since I am recording it and I can do that. Hang on. Okay, now I remember where I was going. I did have to stop and look or listen and see what I was thinking. Okay, here's the problem with YouTube. All the recommended videos are the top ad earners from the big channels. So I want to look at Dragon Quest videos, because I'm super into Dragon Quest. I want to see a fat, sweaty, autistic kid with, like, a 5-megapixel cell phone off his fucking Razor. Like, what are those called? A Motorola Razor? What were those? You get the point. I want to see just, like, the passionate weirdo that's got 5 views, that's, like, 4 in the morning, just got done playing a video game. Maybe he doesn't have an editing program. Maybe he doesn't have a fancy software package and, like, you know, 15 studio lights and a script writing team and a Patreon, and don't forget to subscribe to this, and if you like my Twitch, don't forget to donate. Here's my P.O. box. You know, I just want to see the guy that 30 years later is like, man, I really like Dragon Quest II. And here are some opinions about Dragon Quest II. I want to see that video. And it's so hard to find that on YouTube anymore. And that's what's wrong with it. Like, when you search, you know, Dragon Quest Retrospective, you get, like, GameSpot and... who the hell do I always see? Just the big names, the big websites. Like, I don't care about your 3-minute review of Dragon Quest Heroes on the PS4. Like, I want to see some weirdo. Like, skin problem, fucking asthma puffer in the other hand. You know, just bad audio. You know, I want to see that guy talking about a game he fucking loves so much that he wants to talk to, like, 3 other people. I want to see that video. So I just got, like, a huge bug up my ass about Dragon Quest again. And, you know, it's funny. It really hit me today. Because, like, I went on a little hiatus from Dragon Warrior in between these podcasts. I guess there's something related about... maybe it's the Dragon Quest and the passion it brings out in me that makes me want to record a podcast. It's been a long time since a video game has made me feel that way. And, I mean, RPGs are long games. When you're... I'm fast approaching middle age, man. Like, I'm gonna be 35 in a few months and have a child, and, like, finding time for video games is hard to do now. Like, I'm trying to work more and get money. I'm trying to work this, like, second job, you know, on my own to earn a little scratch on the side. I'm trying to be productive. I'm trying to, like, improve myself and work out and get to this half Iron Man and all this shit. So it's really the hardest type of game to be digging into right now is a Japanese role-playing game. Specifically, I'm playing Dragon Quest VII, the remake. And, you know, the story mode is 100 hours, and I've recently picked it back up, and I'm at about the 42, 43-hour mark. And this is, like, just the longest game, and so much of it is you have to talk to every single person in different time periods and see how you've affected it by solving the problem and beating the monster. And I fucking love this game. And I'm kind of curious, like, and when I beat this, I want to play the original on the PlayStation that has an 120-hour main storyline. That's not every side quest. That's just the main story, 120 hours. And they've shortened it down to about a 100-hour story, but I love it. There's, like, these... When you're familiar with what goes on in this game, it's like when you get to a little town and you solve the love triangle, you know, that's going on, the little drama. This whole game is, like, that kind of shit. Just the little human drama that's going on in this world in crisis as you travel through time and solve problems in the past, and then the island comes back into the present. So then you go to the present and you talk and you see, like, how their whole lives played out. And, like, sometimes you run into their grandchild, or you see where they ended up buried. This one woman was in love with a guy, and she, you know, the little drama that happened, she became a nun on the cliff that overlooks where he had his little herb garden, and she watched over him until the day he died. And you go back to the present, and you find this tombstone. You're like, oh, that's sad. You play through the game 20 more hours, you solve another island's problem. This island has a bridge that goes to that island, but it takes place 30 years later from the love drama, so there, one guy's still alive, but she just died, like, a week earlier. And then when you go back to the present again, you see that they're both buried on the, you know, cliff overlooking the herb garden. And I just fucking I'm lapping this shit up. I love it. And I'm getting real deep into the character class, the job system. I want to make the main guy, the hero, I want him to obtain the hero class. And there's, like, a million fucking hoops you got to jump through. You got to master 3 intermediate classes. To master an intermediate class, you got to master 2 basic bitch classes. So I got to master all these classes, and I'm picking which ones I want. And then you learn all these different abilities, and you can kind of customize your guy that way. And I'm really just getting into it, and it's pretty dope. But so right now I've got another, like, it went away for a month or two, but I'm right back in to Dragon Quest. And so I'm trying to find fucking YouTube videos about it, and it's so hard to do. There's like five really good ones that I can find, and then the rest of it's Let's Plays and walkthroughs. It's not like when it was YouTube in 2007 or 5 or whatever, you know, like 10 plus years ago, when you just type in the name of a game and you get like a list of like 1,000 people talking about like the most obscure games, and I fucking miss that. The best Dragon Quest videos I found are in Spanish, and I found it on Instagram, because you can actually search shit on Instagram and find it, because Instagram wants you to see the things you like. They're not trying to censor unpopular opinions. Well, hell, maybe they are, but I'm only looking up video games on Instagram. The way YouTube prioritizes shit, like if you speak like I do and say shit and, you know, fuck and faggot, they not only demonetize you, they just make your shit impossible to find. So anyway, I was clicking around on Instagram, and some Spanish-speaking dude, I'm not sure if he's from Spain, I don't know where the hell the dude's from, but he's from a Spanish-speaking country, and he had like a really nice, well-produced video with English subtitles. So I subscribed, and I was like, yo, dude, like, does YouTube do this automatically, or did you enter it? And it's like, oh, I entered it. And it's like, well, thanks, man. I'm fucking subscribed. The effort is not wasted. I will watch your Dragon Quest videos. And it sucks that I have to jump through so many loops and find some guy from some other part of the fucking planet that doesn't even speak the same damn language. I should be able to just go into YouTube and type Fat Sweaty Nerd Talks About Dragon Quest and have like a million fucking videos so I can just, you know, be excited. And just speaking about, like, and I was just really thinking about it the past few days, that, like, the last time I got this excited about a game series was Bomberman. And that was in, like, 2009 when I discovered Bomberman. You know? And I just started buying up every Bomberman game I can find, and I'm in that mode right now, where I've got, like, all the remakes of Dragon Quest, but what I don't have is Dragon Warrior 2, 3, and 4 on the Nintendo, and each one gets more and more expensive. And earlier tonight, I found an auction yesterday, and I have an almost complete Dragon Warrior. I've got all the Nintendo powers with Dragon Warrior articles, and I'm going to get like a folder or something so I can safely transport those to work and read through them, because there's a couple issues that have like, you know, 12, 13 page spreads on Dragon Warrior that were hyping it up before it came out in America, and I'm really looking forward to reading those, so I brought the Nintendo powers over here. And so, like, that lot I got from the blind guy last year garage sailing, he had the Nintendo Power giveaway version of Dragon Warrior. So I've got the map, I've got the fold-out poster, I've got the little cardboard things that tell you, like, what spells you learn and at what level. I've got the strategy guide, the manual, everything except the box. So I was looking around at eBay last night, about 24 hours ago, and there was one, $4.99, zero bids, $4 and some change shipping. So it was just under 10 bucks. And so I follow this fucking auction, and I got, like, my girlfriend's daughter's down here, like, we're talking, there's a thunderstorm, and it's like, I gotta go bid on this thing. She's like, what are you buying? It's like, ah, come on, let's go look at it. And I'm like, we're watching it fucking count down, it gets down to a minute, and then some bozo bids on it. And I was so pissed, because all I wanted was the box. It was the box, the manual, the game. And the foam piece, actually. So if I had that, then I'd have 100% complete Dragon Warrior. And so I threw in, at the 15-second mark, threw in my max bid of $10. It ended at $13.50. plus the shipping. So about $17 and some change. And I ain't paying that much for a fucking cardboard box. But I would like to get the four Nintendo games complete. And I usually don't go out of my way to get stuff like that complete, but I don't know what it is about Dragon Quest that clicks with me. I love the combat. I love, like, with this one, I'm actually using their skills and abilities intelligently. And, like, I made the little wolf boy into a... Shit. I forget the name of the class, but he's, like, basically a shepherd. That might be it. And so he's got, like, all these sheep summoning abilities, and there's this one move that puts the enemies to sleep, and then my main guy has got, like, these warrior abilities, so he, like, you know, gets pumped up, and then, you know... So I'm, like, getting actually better at the combat, and instead of just grinding, which is an option. That's one of the core tenets of Dragon Quest, is that no matter what, if you just throw enough time at it, you can grind and beat the game, even if you're shitty at the game. But I'm, you know, taking an interest in this one and learning the nuance of the combat system so that, you know, it helped with management of items and, you know, magic points, and I managed to take out some bosses without, you know, having to just massively overpower them. There's also another part of the game. One of the stories before you get the ability to change your class, the location's called All Trades Abbey, and all the current translations of the Dragon Quest games, that's where that takes place at All Trades Abbey. So you go there and you try to change your abilities, but uh-oh, it's been overrun by monsters. That's not the priest, that's just some dickhead monster, and he stole your abilities. And then they, like, strand you in this little shitty town full of people that have had all their magic abilities and class, you know, magic and abilities stolen from them. And then there's this whole thing where you save the priestess, but it changes the gameplay because now you don't have heal spells. So, like, you had to buy potions and herbs and all that bullshit. So it changed the way you play the game. I love shit like that. It was a nice little challenge. It was a nice little change of pace. You had to play the game differently than you had been. It was fucking cool. And, you know, I liked the characters. And, oh no, and there's so many characters in this game. Like, there's just all these hundreds of stories, and it's all this little human drama going on. And, cute slimes to bash with swords, and it's, oh no, man. It's been a long time since I've been this fired up about video games. It's really nice. So that's why I want to, like, build this Dragon Warrior collection. And, yeah, the last thing that really clicked with me was Bomberman. Before that, Metal Gear Solid. And before that, Lost Vikings. Those are the big series that really, you know, go hit hard for me. So, you know, Dragon Warrior's right up there in my top five now. And I was... You know, and talking to Metal Gear, this wasn't in my notes, but I'll go ahead and talk about it now. Metal Gear Survive, you know, the first Metal Gear that's coming out without Kojima, I'm not going to fucking buy that shit. I'm definitely not going to buy, like, seven versions of it. There's, like, a DRM, you have to be online the whole time. I don't even pay for the PlayStation Plus. I'm not going to even play that shit if I buy it. So why am I going to put that on a shelf even? I might, if I think of it someday, look at a YouTube video of it. And it's so tragic that, you know, Metal Gear Solid is gone to shit like that for me at least. I never even finished Metal Gear Solid 5. I don't even know if I fucking want to. Because, like, I'm at this point in the game where you just gotta keep grinding the same missions over and over until you've done enough missions to trigger the next plot. And that's a stupid system, and I hate it. It's just like, how can we stuff more game into this game? And it's like, no thanks. I'll just play some Dragon Quest on my DS or my 3DS while I'm taking shits, you know, like, wherever I find time. So, no, there's some more Dragon Quest stuff. Like, yesterday I was going through and I was just looking at the strategy guide for Dragon Warrior. One of the things I was thinking, I forget if I even mentioned it, but at some point I'd like to stream one night a week. I'm probably going to choose Mondays because right now I'm off Mondays. And in the future when I start changing my work bullshit, Mondays will probably also be the day that I remain off. Or it'll just also be a day that I'm off. So anyway, I'm thinking one of the first things I would like to stream is playing the Nintendo Dragon Warrior, because I played the Game Boy Color remake and it was pretty good. I mean, it's short and straightforward, but they reduced the grinding for gold and experience considerably. Yeah, so I would like to get the hardcore points of actually playing and beating the first one, but with the caveat of I'm going to use the little place card that shows you, you know, the levels and when you get your shit, the strategy guide, the map. That the map's real cool. It's a monster guide. So it shows you the monsters, how many hit points, how many magic points, and the map shows you where they're at in the world. So, like, you can target your grinding, or, like, you know, you can say, oh, I'm this level, I can beat this guy, and, like, they really, really tried to make this game click in America, and, I don't know. I was, at the baby doctor with my woman. We had to do this non-stress test or something, because, I don't know, like, a whole bunch of shit, but everything's okay with the baby, but we gotta do this thing once a week, where she goes and gets wired up and hits a button when the baby kicks. But everything's cool. Anyway, I was in the lobby while she was, like, taking a leak or doing whatever and getting signed in. And I was reading a story on Retro Gamer's website, the publishers of the magazine of the same name. And this kid was talking about when he was little and he got Dragon Warrior, and him and his dad would take turns. They had a notebook, and they'd write down all the dialogue from the NPCs, how many enemies they fought, how much experience, how much gold, and they would take turns. The dad worked nights, so during the day, while the kid was at school, the dad would play, and then, you know, in the evenings, when the kid was home from school and the dad was at work, he would play, and they passed it off. It's like, man, that's the kind of fucking video I'd love to be able to find on YouTube now. But all you get's these highly produced, shiny videos. Like, I just want to see weirdos talking about the shit they like. Where's it at? How do you find that shit? Do you know how to find that shit? It looks like, I think I got this from Mecha Menace. Let me throw this into the web browser here. There is a limited edition of Street Fighter II, 30th Anniversary Edition, for the Super Nintendo being released by Capcom. Limited edition of 5,500. Brand new, playable on SNES cartridge, trifold box with foil gloss and embossments, premium instruction booklet, retro pack-in surprise. I already got this game on the Super Nintendo. And I'm not paying $100 for it either. But that's cool. Maybe other publishers will release shit. Like, it's not going to happen because Square Enix doesn't really support Dragon Quest in the West. But maybe they could make those Super Nintendo versions of Dragon Warrior 1 through 3 come out in the West on the Super Nintendo. I would pay some money for that. But shit ain't happening. Let's see. Wow. The Mondo Cool website has 522,000 all-time views. We're at over 500,000. I'm closing some tabs. It's exciting shit. I know this is why you guys download this shit. Let's see. Oh, a video I want to make. And I got a list, a rough list. And that's, you know, I mentioned that Dragon Quest is definitely in my top five. It's in my top four. I don't even know what my top five is. I know what my top four are. Lost Vikings, Metal Gear Solid 2, Bomberman, Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest, whichever. But I made a list of 50 games. I thought, yeah, I would make a top 50 list. And I was thinking I could make series of videos and do 5 or 10 at a time. Hold the game up, talk about it, maybe show a little gameplay of some of them. And I think that's the video I'd really like to make. But, and I got a list. The list exists. It's not ordered. It's a rough list. It's just these are the games that came to mind that like I would tell someone else to play this shit. It was actually River City Ransom that got me thinking about it. It's like, would I put this in my top 10? Yeah, I think I would. What is this? Oh, I saw some YouTube video. I guess this will go in the show notes if I remember. It's just a little girl with the Game Boy Color, I think. And she's trying to play Pokemon, and she doesn't know what the fuck buttons are. So she just keeps tapping the screen. It's like cute and shit. So let's talk about some movie. No, we got one more game item. Recently, within the past month or so, this dude left a comment on my Lost Vikings video. One of my Lost Vikings videos. I believe it's about comparing the versions of Lost Vikings 2 on, you know, Super Nintendo, Saturn, and PS1. So we started talking, and he invited me to, you know, his private Lost Vikings fan group, and I don't know what country he's from, but he seems like a alright fellow, because he's got good taste in video games. There's an article on PC Gamer. I guess I'll throw this in the show notes as well, should I remember. Blizzard talks about reintroducing Blackthorn and the Lost Vikings. People around their office talk about it quite a bit. It doesn't mean shit. People talk about all kinds of things around the office. But if there was a new Lost Vikings game, I'd buy it. You know, make it a trilogy. Blizzard, come on, what are you doing? Okay, so now we got some movies and shit I watched recently. I watched The Tick. I'm a big fan of The Tick. I mean, I've got like one or two of the comics, but I really liked the animated series and the live-action series. Big fan of those incarnations of The Tick. And the guy, who's it, Ben Edlund, he worked on Supernatural, which I'm not ashamed to admit that the seasons that he worked on Supernatural, primo television. Those are like the fun seasons that were good, and now it's unwatchable shit. Maybe I just don't like TV anymore, but man, the last two seasons were pretty fucking not good. But anyway, I watched The Tick. It's on Amazon. My woman, she's in college, get her big brain full of smart shit. And so as part of that, they give you free Amazon Prime. So like every now and then we fuck around with it. I don't watch too much TV and movies because I'm so busy, like, swimming and cycling and working all the time. And then when I find an hour or two a week, if I'm lucky, I'm playing this Dragon Quest VII. Because it's just, and keeping my attention. This, you know, like, I'm one of those people that I'll start a game and then walk away from it for months or years and then come back and finish it later. But Dragon Quest keeps me, like, pretty hooked. This is bizarre. The Tick, however, the first half of the season came out, and I saw all these ads for it on, like, Instagram, and they made it look horrendous. And I was like, oh, this looks fucking stupid. Like, I'll watch it. I'll give it a chance, because I liked the last live-action Tick. It was pretty good. And now technology's come a long way to where you can, you know, do some pretty good special effects on a pretty small, relatively small budget. So, it's like what really crippled the first live-action Tick is that it came out in 2001 to where 2001, sometime around then, and they just didn't have enough money to show any action sequences, so it's mostly, like, implied, you know, like they just got done beating the giant, you know, whatever, and then they talk about it. Shit like that, you know, stuff that shows do to get around showing big-budget effects. This was actually really good. I would recommend it 10 out of 10. If you're a fan of The Tick and you got access to it, fuck it. You know, there's other ways to watch it. I would say watch it. I enjoyed it. I marathoned through, I think it was 6 episodes. Sat down and watched them all. I was really entertained by it. It's very funny. A lot better than the ads on YouTube and Instagram made it look. For our anniversary date, which was the 13th of October, which was a Friday this year, the Dixie Twin Drive-In Movie Theater had a Halloween special going that weekend. So on the Friday, there's supposed to be three movies, actually a total of six. They got two screens, that's why it's the Dixie Twin, you see. And they had to cancel two movies. The show was supposed to start at 6, but I guess no one checked the calendar, and it was still sunny at 6. It was sunny until like 7:30. So instead of running the shit late, they just canceled the first two shows. Which, I forget all the shows. I think The Exorcist might have been in there, but I don't really care for The Exorcist. I thought that show's boring. But Texas Chainsaw Massacre was the show that I didn't get to see. But what I did get to see on the drive-in movie theater, which is the best way, mind you, to see a horror movie, is at a drive-in movie theater in October. It's beautiful weather outside. Love the drive-in. Got to see Evil Dead and Friday the 13th. Fuck yeah, that is a winning combo. And then they recently switched to a digital projector. A lot of the remaining drive-in movie theaters, you know, it's expensive to get a digital projector, and movies aren't being, you know, shipped out on film anymore. So they got this digital projector, which means they can hook up a Blu-ray player. So they played Evil Dead on Blu-ray in the incorrect aspect ratio. So it was not the coolest thing ever. It really pissed me off. I mean, it didn't piss me off, but it could have been better. They could have played Evil Dead in the proper aspect ratio. And then Friday the 13th, they got it going. And you could see, like, the fucking Blu-ray player menu. It's pretty hokey. And then Saturday night was the kids' night, and they played Hotel Transylvania. Death Adder, get at me on Skype, because I will tell you my actual analysis of this movie. And, that's not an opinion I would share publicly, but I think you, and I guess Balzac, you're a pretty cool kid. I'll tell you what my opinion is, but this is not something I would say publicly. So I watched Hotel Transylvania and Beetlejuice at the kids' night. We had the kids with us, you know, my girlfriend's daughter and one of her friends, and so that was more for them. But then they played Beetlejuice, which is a classic film. And then on the other screen we missed Lost Boys was the only one I really cared about. Originally they were going to have Ghostbusters, and I was like, man, I'm going to watch Ghostbusters and Beetlejuice, and it's going to be the shit. So that kind of sucked. Last night, me and the woman, we watched Black Swan, right? And I was like talking to her, and I was like, oh yeah, it's famous for that dyke scene where what's her face? Mila Kunis and Princess Amidala. What the fuck's it? Natalie Portman. Have a dyke scene, right? Like they slam clams, and that's like what everyone talked about in this film. She's like, oh, I'm glad you told me that, so I didn't watch it with, you know, the kid. And it's like, yeah, it's pretty raunchy from what I hear. And so we were watching this movie, and you know, I'm talking about, like, you know, I talk about the directing. I try to pay attention to, like, camera movements and what they're trying to tell you. And cause apparently I'm a big movie fag. Apparently I'm into that. You know, pretty hard. So I'm just like, look at this visual metaphor. You think that's what they mean? Oh, that's pretty ham-fisted. It's like, all right, dude, I get it. You know, yeah, I was talking a little bit of shit. But as the movie went on, I was fucking gripped. This movie about ballets, I was edge of my seat, more into it, more effective than any horror movie I've seen in the past 15 years. I'm going to go ahead and spoil the whole thing to explain what's going on. So the protagonist, Natalie Portman, her mom was like a washed up, didn't go too far ballerina, overbearing. The main character's like just stressed the fuck out, and she's like scratching herself on her back, which is like a weird place to pick to scratch at yourself, but that's what she does. And throughout the movie she has these hallucinations. So like she's got like a bloody fingernail, and she goes to the bathroom at this party and starts peeling off her skin like all the way up her finger. I'm like, ugh, and it grossed me out. And I mean, I watch the most horrendous horror movies all the time. But that just really is like, ew, gross. And what is it? There's a scene where... Oh, she's getting a massage. And she's like, the massage lady's like reaching up under her ribs and like pushing through the skin. I'm like, oh, that is so gross. And just like popping her legs and pulling her feet. And it's like, ugh, that gave me the heebie-jeebies a little bit. Because like, if someone was pushing my diaphragm under my fucking rib cage, I'd probably punch them. But like the girl, the main girl is just like hallucinating and you don't really know what's going on. And then there's some like bad 2010 CG where she turns into the Black Swan. That's like the only real thing I could talk shit about. The lesbian scene, she like comes home late with Mila Kunis after, you know, just running off to get away from her mom, and then the mom's like banging on the door and she locks the door and they start like immediately diking out, and while her mom's banging, I'm like, that's fucking gross. Like, I mean, ugh, like what a bunch of whores. Was my opinion, but I could see why people talked about that scene. I was absolutely gripped by this movie. Maybe not so much the first act, but by the second act, I was just like 100% absorbed into this movie, and like, I don't know. I would watch, shit, I'd tell you guys to watch it. I didn't expect much from it. I thought I was going to hate it and it's going to be some stupid art shit. And I mean, it is, but no, it's pretty good for a movie about ballets, you know? So, what do we got? We're creeping up on the hour. That's about how long these have been recently. So let's tear into some comments. Then I'm going to record some more Fortified Zone. And I may try to edit this just the tip tonight and get it out. And then maybe tomorrow I'll work on the podcast. Oh, actually, my dude Seth Rock shot me a message on Facebook. And him and a buddy are trying to get some streaming shit going. And I'm trying to get some streaming shit going, so I'm going to be like, yo, dude, like, help me get my streaming shit going, because I still can't get my fucking microphone to work. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing wrong. So, or maybe I just need someone to be in the audience to listen. Maybe my microphone is working. But I need to get my shit, you know, need to get my audios checked. What am I doing? I'm trying, I don't know, I think I got this shit running right now, and it's not going right. I don't know, whatever. So, I might get the streaming shit going sooner than later, and I might do some collaborations. Maybe I'll be like, yo, Seth, you know, you can throw some of your shit on my shitty website that no one looks at. Actually, people do look at it, that's the thing. Like, I guess all these other people picking up the slack. I'm glad someone's using the website. Shit, cost me $10 a year, goddammit. But we got a couple comments, and some of these comments are talking to each other, but I'm going to read them anyway. I'm going to give you my opinion on it, because fuck it, it's my show. What are you going to do about it? Hold on. So we got to get this pulled up so I can give it out and not look like a huge fucking retard. Let's see, I don't even know how to work this thing anymore. Because they've changed it. And I get spam now to the Mondo Cool hotline. I'm getting all these, like, blank... all these fucking blank... voicemails. And it's just like... Why are we doing this? Yeah, apparently... the website just doesn't show me my thing anymore, my number, so I guess I gotta pull it up on my cell phone. I'm glad I saved it, because I always forget what it is, because I don't call it. I know it's 937-419-something-something-something, but that's where the memory gets a little hazy, so I wanted to pull that up, so I wouldn't look like a total retard, but here I am, looking like a total retard. All right, so we got that pulled up for when we need it. And I'm glad I pulled it up, because I would have told you the wrong number. Looking at it now, I would have told you the wrong number. I was close, but that last digit I had wrong. So Death Adder writes in, I listened to this 5 hours ago, and ever since you mentioned a possible return to the live Mondo Coolcast, I've spent that entire time ejaculating into the kitchen sink. I'm now ready to post a comment. You've mentioned Dragon Quest in every video and or podcast for at least a year. If a man talks that much about a series, then it's worth checking out. Now that I have a Nintendo 2DS, which is also the exact hardware inside of my Xbox One, I will pick up Dragon Quest when I see it for $20 redos. Well, let me tell you, pal, the one I recommend, Dragon Quest VIII, because it's very basic, I think it's a good pick-up and play game, is $25 on Amazon right now. If you go to new and used offers, I see a $19.99 plus $4 shipping. Game only looks great. I would pass on that. Get the shit complete, bro. It's $25 brand new from Amazon. If you got Prime, it's free shipping. It's not a bad time to pick it up, my dude. Hell, you know, if you got a powerful enough computer to simulate that shit. Dragon Quest VII is going up in price, it would seem. It's $42.90 on Amazon. I don't know it. You know, eBay might be a little different, but it's kind of hit or miss with these. Like, 4, 5, and 6, and actually 4 and 5 on the DS are also highly recommended from fans. I have not played 4, 5, and 6. I played a little bit of 6, but I've not played all of 4, 5, and 6. 4 and 5 are often recommended as like being highly, like, just real good. And they're $25 new on Amazon. Square Enix has done some reprints of those two because they still sell well, I guess. Well enough to have some reprints. You can get them. I bought them recently new, and they have those new cases with the, like, little recycle arrows cut out. Holy shit. I heard on VR that Dragon Quest VI was getting expensive. A new copy on Amazon is now $107. I bought mine at Myers a year or two ago off the shelf for, you know, regular retail of $30. But anyway, let's continue this comment. Here's my question. Sans Metal Gear, Shenmue, and Windjammers, is there not a single PS4 game from the 2013 to 2017 that has excited your nether regions even a little bit? I'll be the first one to admit that this console generation is the worst one ever, but there has to be something. Have you seen the amount of pixels Nathan Drake's DLC pants? It's amazing. Let me turn around. I just moved my PS4 games down here, and the PS4 itself. I have Until Dawn, which is a good game to play with my girlfriend. It's kind of an interactive horror movie. It's kind of like, reminded me of Heavy Rain. It's, you know, like quick time events and shit like that. And it was $20 at Walmart new. And I had fun with it. And you can go through and make different choices. Like, you make choices and then the story plays out. And it was pretty good. Like, I mean, if you like horror movies, for a movie game, like, I enjoyed it quite a bit, honestly. But, I don't know, like, yeah, I liked that. I'm waiting until I get a second DualShock 4, or whatever the PS4 controller is. I guess, yeah, that'd be a DualShock 4, right? I'm waiting until I get another controller before I start Diablo 3 with my girlfriend, because we played through and beat Diablo 1 together, and she's down to play through and beat Diablo 3 with me, so I might enjoy that. I don't know, but that's on PC and PS3 and all this other shit. No, man. I've got a remake of Valkyria Chronicles on the PS4, you know. May as well just play the PS3 version, shit. I don't know. Yeah, I can't, well, actually, yeah, there is a PS4 game I'm really, really excited about talking about, and I don't see it in your list of games to not talk. Dragon Quest XI will be coming out on the PS4. I will be buying all the versions that are released in America. I will buy if all three versions come out in North America, I will buy all three versions. I will buy the 3DS, the Nintendo Switch, and the PS4 versions. The Switch and PS4 versions are basically the same, just the Switch version will be graphically inferior, but it will be a portable. And I don't know, I need to ask Kyle, he's the only person I know that has a Switch, if it has a camera. If there's no camera on that fucking thing, I can take it to work and play Dragon Quest, one of the new ones, and it will be the shit, and it will make me very excited. Yeah, that's there it is, my dude. Another fucking Dragon Quest game. I'm interested in Dragon Quest Builders and the two Dragon Quest Heroes games as well. I should probably get them now while they're cheap, but I'm poor as fuck, dude. I'm saving all my money for this. I'm saving all my money for a truck and the baby. I just recently came up with an idea. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take $20 out of every paycheck, and that's going to be my baby fund. Just like, I'm going to give that kid that money when she grows up and be like, here you go. Don't fuck up. I go to college or trade school or, you know, do something. Buy a fucking house. Start a farm. Like, I don't know. Do something that isn't stupid. Here's some money I slaved away and saved for you. But also taking like $5 out of every paycheck and putting it in a jar. And taking those funds and saving up. Because, like, my hard rule for Nintendo games, don't spend more than $10. Don't give a fuck what it is. I've never spent more than $10 for a Nintendo tape. I will make an exception for these complete Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior 2, 3, and 4. So I'm thinking I'll just save that money up and go over the most expensive ones first. I get four, and then three, and then two. Because 2 is really not, like, the best game in the series. But I would also like to have it complete and have the map. I want to get a double-sided frame so I can... The Monster Guide poster that comes with the original Dragon Warrior, I want to be able to flip that over and look at it. Yeah, dude. Those are the PS4 games I'm the most interested in. I'm sure there's something. Let's do some live. Kind of curious what it'll sound like. I've got my monitor arm now, so I have room on my desk. And I've got my microphone arm, which is on this little ugly white piece of furniture, so I wonder what the typing sounds like. Like, you shouldn't be hearing it rumbling through. It's still loud because it's a clicky keyboard, but I wonder... I'm interested in what it sounds like when I get to this editing process in the next couple of days. So let's do PS4 games. Call of Duty World War II, pass. Friday the 13th, the game. Interested. Will buy when I see it for $20. Because it's got bad reviews and I hear it's glitchy as shit. The Crash Insane Trilogy, kind of interested. Like, if I saw it at a garage sale for $5, I'd get it. Last of Us Remake, no thanks. Shadow of Mordor, something, no. Horizons, no. Ghost Recon, no. Minecraft, no. Oh, an updated version of Skyrim? Kinda, yeah. Like, I'd probably pay that if I saw it for $5 at a garage sale. Let's see, let's go to the next page. Mortal Kombat XL, no. Until Dawn, it's $21. Like, if you got a PS4 Death Adder, if you like horror movies, I liked it. Wasn't expecting to. Let's see. Spider-Man, Uncharted, Mafia, and another Uncharted. Oh, this is Uncharted with girls, so that means it's good. I think one of them's brown, so you know it's going to be a hit. Let's see. what we got? Batman, Rocket League, Street Fighter, Tomb Raider, Titanfall 2, Division, Watch Dogs, Ass Creep, the Ezio Collection, Mortal Kombat again. Let's see. Prey. I don't know what that is. That looks kind of neat. Yeah, see, I haven't really been following video games. Doom. I want to get Doom. I rented it from somewhere, I forget, and I played a little bit. It was pretty good. I'd like to get the full copy. What is this? There's a Hori PS4 mini wired gamepad, and it looks like a Joy-Con, kind of. That's fucking stupid. Mad Max, I bet that's a piece of shit. BioShock the Collection? What's that? Has that got, like, BioShock 1 and 2 on it? I've never played those. Yeah, BioShock main game, all the DLC, BioShock 2 main game, all the DLC, BioShock Infinite, director's commentary. Wow, $33? Yeah, I've wanted to play BioShock. I've got BioShock 2, I think. I got it at a garage sale for $1. The new God of War, that looks pretty cool. I'd try that. Bloodborne, I want to get that someday. The Witcher 3, but I'd like to play Witcher 1 and 2 first. I'm that kind of guy. Let's see. I would... Oh, wow. No Man's Sky has 2.5 stars. How unfortunate. I'd still like to play it, even though you don't do anything. Like, if I got it for $1 at a garage sale. The Last Guardian. There's a game I'd like to play. My girlfriend thinks it looks neat, so that makes me want... South Park Fractured Butthole. I'd try that. I played about half of the magic stick or whatever the fuck it was called. The Stick of Truth. That was pretty good. I need to finish it. Like that... I was playing it on the PC and that PC exploded, so that's why I never finished it. Deus Ex. Mankind Divided. I don't know. I'd try that. Yeah, see, none of these games are really blowing my skirt up. Like, these Dragon Ball games, the Dragon Ball Xenoverse, like, I used to play all the Dragon Ball games, but they lost me. Like, I'm not into that shit no more. Oh, Dragon Ball Fighters Z. I would play that one. It's a 2D fighting game. That one looks pretty good. I would pay $20 for it. So if that ever drops to that price, be right there. See, it's like, once I've become a garage sale guy, it really hurts to pay full price for a game. Like, I'll do it for my beloved Dragon Quest, because I'm just like, I want to collect this series and just focus on it right now, and it's keeping my attention. Which is what's cool. Oh, what we got here? We got Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls. It's some remakes. Like, everything that's, like, even piquing my interest a little bit is a fucking remake. Inside Limbo, Tekken, Black Mirror, XCOM 2, Alien Isolation, fucking Resident Evil 4. Wow. I got the original on PS2 for, like, $1 at a garage sale. I'll play that one. I'm sure the trophies are nice, but, you know, it's even nicer. Playing pretty much the same shit, but for $1. I'm into that. Let's see. Elite Dangerous. It's got bad reviews. And its price. Yeah, no. Looks like the only thing I'm really excited about are the games you mentioned and also Dragon Quest XI, which will be coming out soon. And I'm more interested in the 3DS version, because the 3DS version, you have the option to play the game in a 2D mode, which is reminiscent of the Super Famicom games. That's what I'm most interested in. I'm also more interested in the Switch version, because it's, again, portable, and it's easier for me to sit down and play portable games, because I can do it while I'm taking a shit in the morning. Mecha Menace wrote in to Death Adder, but I'm going to read it anyway. I agree with you that this console generation is not as exciting, though I am inclined to side with JT for the reason... we're battle-weary gamers. We've seen the wheel reinvented 40 times over. Here's my track on why this generation is so different. Think about early video games. To me, early video games is your Ataris, Colecos, and Televisions. They were all arcade conversion, point-based games. You know, arcade-era gaming was a whole different beast than what I grew up in. It was high scores and competition and reaction time and just hand-eye coordination and beating the shit out of some other guy or getting good so that you can play the whole fucking game on a quarter. And then, naturally, when they brought them home, it was just those same games, except for it's like, you know, on a limited amount of lives, try to beat the game on one life. But it was the same type of games. And then it was when we get to the, you know, the beginning of the golden age of gaming, where you like your Nintendos, your Master Systems, your Atari 7800s, where they started making games for sitting at home. your role-playing games, your adventure games, your platformers, your longer games, that so there was an evolution there. There's different types of gameplay. There was new thrills. There's new goals, new things. And then that was refined and made better in the 16-bit era with your Super Nintendos and your Genesis, your TurboGrafx. You know, you still had arcade ports of, like, shooters and fighting games. You know, fighting games reinvigorated the console scene. But, you know, you had longer role-playing games with more nuance, you know, battery-backed saves, so you'd have really long games. It was different from the arcade era point-based shit from those early 8-bit games. And then you had the jump to 3D, and it was rough and sloppy, but you had new types of games. You had first-person shooters, you had real-time strategy games, you had, you know, bigger and even betterer RPGs, and more refined, there's more refinement. And then with the PS2, you got, you know, the Dreamcast and PS2, you got more refining of those early 3D games. So they polished up those ideas and concepts and made bigger and better and just more graphically appealing games. And some of the art styles, your Wind Wakers and Jet Grind Radios, are still beautiful to this day. Your Okamis, those cel-shaded graphics, those people that decided, like, art style. And it's beautiful games, but they refined the gameplay. Well, okay, then what's the PS3 and PS4 generations? The exact same shit that they started 20 years ago, but just with better graphics. So now they've only honed in on what makes the most money, because we need to hire like 100 Filipinos to, you know, spend all day making Lara Croft's tits round instead of triangles. They're not worried about the gameplay. They're not worried about exploring new ideas. You're kind of seeing that with the VR shit, you know, and they tried to do something with the Waggle controllers and the Kinect, and they tried to do something different, but was it something anyone wanted? Not really. I haven't tried personally myself the VR, but I really don't see wearing a fucking helmet enhancing the same 3D games I've been playing for 20 years. There's not a new genre. There's not a new, like, exciting thing. It's just more of the same, but more polygons are being thrown at it. That's my opinion. Mecha Menace continues. Since the PS2, GameCube, Xbox eras, consoles have been approaching parity. Nintendo seems to be the only platform that tries something different, even though they can't push the pixels that these Sony and Xbox and PCs can. Maybe there's enough interest to bring over gamers and hence developers to make content that is interesting to jaded gamers, content that takes advantage of this unique hardware. Yeah, I do think Nintendo did a good job with the Switch. Now, if Sony just included a fucking HDMI mini port on the PS Vita, same shit as the Switch. The exact same shit. The original PSP has a cable, you can plug it into your TV, and now it's a console. Like, the Switch is not a console and a handheld. It is a handheld fucking tablet with detachable controllers that you can also plug into your TV. The PlayStation Vita could have had a USB-C port that plugged into your TV, or just an HDMI mini. And you could have just ran a cable to your television. You don't need a dock. You don't need a wireless controller. You just need a long fucking 10-foot HDMI cable. And it would have been the same shit, but they did good marketing this time, which is really where they screwed the pooch on the Wii U. They didn't market that fucking thing at all. They didn't explain what it was. No one knew what it was. No one cared what it was. It's a controller for my Wii. Snooze. Like, what can I do with this? So, I mean, they just tried to take, you know, tablet input method and make it into, like, as a feature of a console, but now they've just made a tablet with the feature of the console of being able to play on a large screen TV. But, you know, people fell for the marketing. It's just a fairly powerful handheld that you can plug in into a video cable that also holds it. It's just a little plastic house with a video cable. The PlayStation Vita could have been the exact same fucking thing if they marketed it. If they had proper marketing. Let's say it that way. If they had proper marketing. You know, I think Nintendo got lucky again with this idea. And, you know, coming out of the gate with a strong Zelda game was smart. But at the end of the day, I don't see just having, you know, a nearly console-quality handheld saving the day. Because that's really what the Vita was at the time it came out. It's just, you know, an almost PS3 in your hands. If they included the TV out on it like they did with the original PS3 and they had that marketing saying it's a handheld console, like, it's the same shit, I think. But I don't know. Like, I would like to see some experimentation. Like, the bloated budgets that we have today, where you have to guarantee the game's going to sell 5 million copies or you're going to lose money, that's to blame. You know, these just pushing the big graphics and, you know, the law of diminishing returns. Is the PS5 even going to look that much? Like, I don't really think the PS4 looks that much better than the PS3. I mean, yeah, it does, but is that enough for me to give a shit and buy the remastered version when I can get the PS3 version for $1? Like, no. Not really. You know, like, am I going to buy that BioShock remake collection for, you know, $20 when given enough time at yard sales, I will find the PS3 or 360 version for a fucking dollar? Like, you know, these next few years, there's still going to be tons of PS2, GameCube, 360, PS3 games. They're just going to be completely fucking valueless to the moms running yard sales. So, like, I'm going to find that shit for $1 eventually if I keep looking. Mecha Menace wrote in a comment to the program, which is, like, the longest fucking story I've ever seen. So let's dive into this. It's fucking 2:30 in the morning, so I'm probably not going to record that Fortified Zone clip. I probably will, but I'm not going to edit it tonight. It's only going to take me like 10 minutes to get the footage I want. Anyway, I digress. I expect DBZ will have a Marvel vs. Capcom-sized roster to match its MVC gameplay. The fighting looks like a lot of fun. And yes, I've been watching the YouTube videos. They've been introducing tons of characters. I wonder if the game will support local multiplayer. It fucking should. This modern gaming age makes that a question, which sucks. That's true. The game nails the mix of 2D anime with 3D arenas far better than any other fighter I've seen. The animations for the characters look great. They're very intricate. Agreed. If you're a fan of games like Flashback, Blackthorn, I'm really not, and Old School Prince of Persia, you may not have noticed The Last Night. You may not have noticed The Last Night. Check it out when you have the time. It looks like they're doing some interesting things. I might check it out. Let's do it right now, because if I don't do it right now, I'll forget. I'll forget 100%. Let's look at this trailer. Okay, what we got here? There's like a ship and a spotlight. It looks dark and moody. Oh, now it's like 2D pixels. And now, like, I could see people that like those games mentioned liking this, but I really did not like those at all. Also, besides porting the Wii U to the Switch, Nintendo is doing some clever things with the Yarn Yoshi games for the Switch. If you can get over your manliness, bro, I love all sorts of cute shit. You may also want to try out that game for your Switch. It won't be very challenging, but it looks like a fun game to explore. How could you want Metroid Prime 4? Because I really liked the first one. I have not played 2 or 3 yet. They haven't shown anything. Also, can we get out of this prequel verse? Either way, I'm hung when it comes to Metroid games. Samus feels samey after 10 to 20 games. They were feeling out some new, exciting things with Fusion by thrusting her character into some new directions. maybe the devs couldn't handle the initial fan reaction. There's a lot I could write about this E3, but I think I left enough here already. I will say that I'm really excited to see more of what Insomniac does with Spider-Man on the PS4. I didn't know they made that. That's neat. Castlevania Netflix was disappointing, but not for any of the reasons you mentioned. I mentioned a lot of good reasons why that was a piece of shit. The producers used their funding to make a preamble. Castlevania proper never really starts up. They gambled on whether Netflix would fund more shows when they made this. Nothing is wrapped up in these four short episodes, and a million doors are open. I'm interested in seeing what they do with Dracula as a sympathetic character. He isn't the ultimate evil as depicted in the video games. The church is depicted as the controlling theocracy of the Dark Ages. To me, it fits the period, though I'm not familiar with any opposer like the fictional Belmont, which had the balls to say anything against them without becoming fried shish kebab or locked in a dungeon. I was really unhappy with how they portrayed the church as being ultimately evil. I don't think that the Christian church is the most evil group of people that have ever existed on this planet. And, you know, Christian people have gone on to do some pretty great things. But anyway, that whole fucking cartoon rubbed me the wrong goddamn way. Balzac's comment was like a podcast inside a podcast. Did you do anything in Japan besides shop at game stores, Kazlab? I'm sure he cuddled with some a lady. Here's a spam, I think. This is from transmoving.in. Usually I never comment on article, but your article is so convincing that I never stop myself to say something about it. You're doing a great job. I am very thankful to you for this grateful and helpful article. I'm sure every morning a literal tsunami of curry shit flows out of this man's anus into the designated shitting street and right into the gutter. I've been getting a lot of spam in my comments, and I hope this street shitter, doesn't die of dehydration from the daily bouts of diarrhea, which is one of the leading causes of death in India. Totally a first world country, I assure you. Death Adder responds to Mecha Menace. I think I have at least one more legit console generation in me before I exclusively play ROMs from the 80s and 90s on some sort of Raspberry Pi gimmick. I don't blame you for that, but I would push for get the real hardware and, like, an EverDrive, which you got to make sure they have the correct polarity. I have learned recently that some of them are wired up in a way that may, over time, damage your consoles. Hold on a second. EverDrive mismatched voltage. If you type EverDrive mismatched voltage, you'll get an article from dbelectronics.ca, db-electronics.ca. Doesn't matter. If you Google the words I said, you come to the article first results. And there's a list of which ones are the best. And the ones that I have are fine. The Game Boy Color one and the Nintendo EverDrive one are allegedly just fine. The Turbo EverDrive 1 has a problem, and I would hate to ruin a PC Engine I would hate to ruin a TurboGrafx 16 or a PC Engine. But the Turbo EverDrive 2 is apparently good to go. So just be aware of this. This is something I learned recently on VR. Anyway, I would recommend that, but why buy a Raspberry Pi when you can just emulate on your computer? Anyway, the comment continues. There's no telling how many women were impregnated by Balzac during his adventures in Japan. His nickname over there is Wee Wee Choo Choo, which translates into the white dragon with many swords. Death Adder also, Death Adder is my favorite commenter. Sometimes I just release podcasts to get Death Adder comments, and it makes me sad whenever I don't get a Death Adder comment on one of my videos. At Transmoving In This is Death Adder responding to that street shitter. Greatest Mondo community member of all time. I've never laughed harder at a comment. Right on. Right on, bro. But because I was talking to Seth Rock about doing this shit, man. Like, and not really. Like, we exchanged 2 messages on Facebook, basically. But I'm going to extend the invitation for the next Mondo Coolcast to interview him, because despite us being good real-life friends in our, teens and early 20 years, we never really talked about games that much. I remember having, one conversation about Xboxes and GameCubes, and I remember going to his house and seeing him play Ocarina of Time one time and thinking, neat, yeah, I'll play it someday. And also playing Spider-Man on his Xbox once. That's like the only time we ever really talked about video games. So, let's rectify that. I'll, maybe tomorrow when I'm talking to him about this shit and getting the streaming going up, I'll do an old school Mondo Cool interview with one of my real life friends. That'll be weird, crossing the streams of internet and real life. Especially with someone I haven't talked to in 5 fucking years, because I'm a bad friend. It's not that I'm a bad friend, it's that I'm autistic. You guys see a whole different side of me. This is what I'm like when I'm by myself. I'm not actually interacting with human beings. I'm interacting with a microphone in my toy room. It's you get the unfiltered. Oh, no, you get the heavily filtered. They're just so many things I hold back on now. I used to be unfiltered, but now I gotta watch my tongue before I start getting into trouble, because everyone's so fucking sensitive now. And it's, what a shame, man. You used to be able to talk shit. I love talking shit. And you can't do that no more, because then you got, commie faggots want to burn your house down if you talk shit. I don't know. What we got? We got an hour and a half. I didn't see that coming. I got this Fortified Zone running in the background. I'm going to try to record that footage, maybe record my audio. My voice is, my throat's starting to hurt because I've been talking for an hour and a half nonstop. I'm not used to that shit no more. Or maybe I'm just old and horrible. Oh no, I'm just clicking on something. I don't even know where I'm going with this. I was just clicking around, looking on my own website. Man, I still got links to this shit here. That's stupid. So yeah, this episode's done. I'm tired as shit. I'm gonna edit this tomorrow. Try to get it up. I'll maybe talk to Seth Rock and we'll do. That's an interesting idea. Maybe I'll tack it onto this episode. I probably won't, but that's an interesting idea, because I know some of you fellas, you like these longer episodes. An hour and a half, I feel, of just me rambling about the same Dragon Quest shit for the millionth hour. That's probably enough. But make sure to check me out at Instagram. I am more active there. If you follow me, I will click little hearts onto your Instagrams, and if you follow me and click little hearts onto my Instagrams, it will make me very happy. I'm very close to 100. I might actually be over it right now for the moment. No, I'm not. These are just likes and comments, but leave some fucking comments on my Instagrams. I like that, and I'll leave comments on your Instagrams. I try to leave comments on people's Instagrams, because I like it when I get them, and I try to start conversations, and you seem to get followers when you do that. It's funny, this social media requiring you to be social, Okay. I don't even remember what this link is. Jesus. I'm looking at, the allies section. What the hell's RPG Fanatic? I'm going to change that shit right now. You're out of here, RPG Fanatic. I think that might be what's given people the virus check. You're gone. That was pretty easy. Save. Refresh. Yep, you're out of here. I need to go through the allies and, like, add more. Maybe I'll add Seth Rock's shit. Okay. You want to email me? You got mondocoolmedia@gmail.com. Write me an email. I'll read it. I'll read it on this program. There's also the form on the website on the contact. You can just go to the website and go to the contact form. It'll tell you what to do. You got Instagram, @JerryTerrifying. Follow that shit. I'm so close to 100. I want to get well over 100. If you're listening to me and you got Instagram, you ain't following me, why not? You also got the option of the Mondo Cool Hotline. Help me fill some time on these podcasts, dude. Give me, I'm putting a challenge out there to you. And I bet, I know one motherfucker that's got the biggest balls on the internet and is man enough to accept this challenge. Leave me a 10-minute audio comment. I don't even know if how long this shit will record, but let's find out. Call in 3 or 4 times. Leave me 10 minutes of audio comment. All right, max out the Google Voice mailbox. All right, let's see who can leave the longest comment. Tell me about a video game. Demez, I know you're up for this challenge. You use the voicemail feature, and I love you for it. Call up and leave some, like, inappropriate comment that'll make me blush, because you've done it once or twice, buddy. And let's get that going. Death Adder, you have a podcast now. What's your fucking excuse, bro? Slam back some brews. Call in the Mondo Cool Hotline. Balzac, Mondo Cool Hotline. Let's do it. Fucking Freddy, I don't know if you still listen to this. You got shit going on in your life, man. Everyone in the Mondo Cool community, I'm not going to say what it is. I ain't trying to blow a spot up too much, but if you're the praying type, give them some prayers. But the Mondo Cool Hotline number, 937-419-1223. Go ahead and give that a little jang-a-lang. And tell me what you think about. What's your favorite game? What game gets you just, like, so fucking pumped for weeks? Like, the past 3 or 4 days, I've been talking to my girlfriend about Dragon Quest and how cool it is and how I want to get this box. And, like, hey, babe, come down to the basement and look at this poster. I want to buy these other Nintendo games with the poster so I can touch them. It's so fucking exciting to me. The most recent Bithead video. I love when, like, serendipitous shit like this happens. I'm, like, going through one of my big phases, which I guess is coincidentally when I get super excited and willing to turn on the microphone. Towards the last, oh no, about 3/4 in to the latest Bithead video, he talks about Dragon Warrior and Dragon Warrior 2. And what's real interesting about what he has to say about it is that it's a blue-collar video game. Because you don't have to be a professional platformer to beat these games. You can just keep grinding and gain experience and eventually beat every boss. You can just keep throwing yourself at it and throwing yourself at it until you climb that mountain. And that's exactly what the creator of the game intended. And I think it's so fucking beautiful that someone actually picked up on that. And, like, especially for the guy that Bithead 1000 is. Like, I don't think he's sitting around reading Yuji Horii interviews. And I think it's great that he picked up on that. In a Yuji Horii interview, which I saw on the YouTubes, he mentions this, like, Japanese myth of climbing the mountain and just working, and as long as you keep moving forward, eventually you will make it. And he wanted to put that concept into the game. And that's where grinding fucking comes from. And maybe that's why it just clicks with me more, that maybe I sort of picked up on it without being able to articulate it. But hearing Bithead articulate that and the way he says shit, I don't know, I liked it. But I'm also got, like, my big Dragon Warrior boner on right now, so there's that. to also consider. But if you'd like to leave a voicemail to play in the next show, I will make another episode of the podcast when I get another voicemail. I challenge you. I challenge everyone listening. Those of you who have been listening for 10 fucking years and never have commented at all, let's see who can leave the longest voicemail in the next episode. Next challenge. Maybe I'll make a video saying that, too. I need to start making videos announcing new Mondo Coolcasts. I guess, you know, now that I'm in one location, it really isn't that hard to throw on the camera and, you know, make a quick, sloppy video. Like, today's episode of Vag was quick and sloppy. You know, I spent maybe a total of 45 minutes, you know, shooting and editing and set up and putting my stuff away. Oh man, before I go, I took a picture of them. This will probably end up on Instagram here in a minute. I need to finish recording because I share the USB cable, blah, 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 who cares. I don't know if you're going to be able to see it really, but I took a picture of my elaborate setup for the two-player fortified zone. So I've got the Game Boy, the Super Game Boy 2 on my Super Nintendo. Then I got a link cable from it going up to my GameCube with the Game Boy player. And it's like a little system link going on. So I got the two TVs going, and I got pictures of the systems wired up, and I got pictures of the TV going. I wish, like, the stuff was a little bit closer together so it'd be a better picture. I wish my shit wasn't so sloppy. I'm just kind of, like, splayed out all over. Like, I don't know if this is gonna, the way the systems, like, if you go check out my Instagram, you can see most of my systems on their shelves. I don't know if this is gonna be their final layout. Like, I'm thinking I might keep, like, the bottom row, I like, because it's all my Atari systems. Well, not all of them. I don't have my Heavy Sixer on display. I got my 2600 Junior, my 5200, a 7800, and a Jaguar. And I'm thinking, you know, I like that it's all Atari on that row. But then, I don't know. So I don't know how I want them set up. I don't know if I want them all, like, Sega on a row, and all Nintendo on a row, and then, like, my Miscellanea row, or, like, my Intellivision and 3DO and shit. I don't know. Fuck, dude, I don't even know. I'm rambling like a fucking retard. It's been about 3 hours since I was able to string a coherent thought together. Sorry, guys, it took so long to get this podcast out. Death Adder, I'm glad that the return of live streams excites you. I was streaming on Twitch tonight. Player 1 was on Twitch, and then Player 2 was on Instagram. Because, like, I would need a video mixer, I believe. I would need video mixing technology so I could put the two inputs into one thing, and then, like, 1,000 Y cables probably, and it'd be, like, such a fucking convoluted setup to get the two-player side-by-side screen going. But once I get my Twitch set up, I might, you know, stream Mondo Coolcasts on Twitch, or I might, you know, throw them up on YouTube Live, or, and then also just set up my phone with Instagram going live, so that there'll just be, like, a whole multitude of streaming options while I create a podcast. I kind of thought about it tonight, throwing my phone on my phone tripod and just streaming that live. But I didn't, because, like, I had two people pop in, my real-life friend Matt and this, like, some random guy popped in. So, I don't know, fellas. My voice hurts. I'm going to try to record this Fortified Zone Just the Tip, and I'm going to start throwing out some Just the Tips. I've got a whole, like, 20, 25 Just the Tip segments laid out that, you know, I'll still throw them into the Mondo Cool TV episodes, but I might just start making those and throwing them on YouTube because I like them. Yeah, I'm fucking out of here. I am going to go do the things I said and go to bed like 45 times. So, yeah, peace the fuck out. Audio comments. 937-419-1223. Call the Mondo Cool hotline. Leave me some audio comments. I love that shit.